Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, flying solo again this week, as usual. It's been about a year. Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church, my co-host. He'd love to be on this show. I can tell you that right now. He would, not only would he be really interested in our guest, but Pastor Ken's son, Kevin, is a pastor in Egg Harbor, New Jersey. And I don't know how far Ocean City is from Egg Harbor, but we would talk a little bit about Kevin Keltner and the good work he's doing in New Jersey, our special guest. And man, there's some things in common here. You know, I didn't play soccer. I should have, because I certainly would have. Matt Mayer, who was our guest, could not have held me on the soccer field. I'm just kidding, of course. But I worked for the Wave for a long time. I worked for the outdoor team here in Milwaukee, and I was the general manager for an indoor soccer team in Chicago for a year. And if you Google the worst general managers in the history of professional sports, there's a pretty good chance my face will pop up because, man, I didn't know enough about soccer to be the general manager of a team, especially in a market like Chicago. Our special guest, and you want to talk about a true story of redemption. This young man, I can't stop watching the stuff that has been put out about him. And on this show, I talk a lot about that there are guys that the worst thing they ever do is steal a candy bar. And then you have Pastor Daryl Stryman and myself that were doing some things you should not be doing. And the Lord's accepted us. Well, I may have to put Matt Mayer in that category. It was a five-second decision that changed the life that we're going to talk a lot about throughout the show today. And I can tell you that when I go to truthovertrend.com, and I've watched a number of videos on this young man, but truthovertrend.com, we're going to talk a lot about during the show. I would recommend it and watch that video. And if you're able to walk away without tears coming down your cheek, I would be surprised, because I have not been able to. Our special guest for the entire hour, former pro soccer player. He's now a teaching pastor at Coastal Christian Church in Ocean City, New Jersey. He's Matt Mayer. Hey, Matt, how are you today?
Mike, thank you so much for that introduction. Unworthy of it, by God's grace alone. And as I heard you kind of talking through maybe a former guest you had on the show, I'm living in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, which is only, 8 miles from Ocean City. So connecting with you in Milwaukee from New Jersey, honored to be on the show with you.
Well, I'm going to find out before we get, before the end of the show, I'm going to find out what church Kevin Keltner is at. And him and his family, and he loves the area, and he's doing really good work. He's a pastor at a church, a youth pastor, I believe, at a church in Egg Harbor, New Jersey. And he is a Midwest kid. I coached him in high school basketball. And if you want to know the kind of player he was, there's a kid that played at Butler, and then he played for the Boston Celtics, and he played for Utah. And I'm not, man, I got to figure out his name. I love the way the kid plays, but that's what this kid was. He changed direction all the time.
Wow.
He could hit shots, and he may have been a better soccer player. I don't know. He thinks he was, but he was a heck of a basketball player. Now I may hook you two up. You may enjoy this kid. Hey, Matt, let's talk a little bit about where you grew up and a little bit about your background. I know you're a multi-sport athlete, but soccer turned out to be your jam at that point. But where'd you grow up?
Grew up in Cape May Courthouse. Four words. In fact, on Jeopardy, when they asked what is the longest city name in America, it was Cape May Courthouse. That's where I grew up, little township. High school, was a multi-sport athlete, as you prefaced. I'm one of four boys, Mike, so I had three older brothers that I looked up to, that I followed in their footsteps, very athletic family, typically the all-American family, father, a career man, law enforcement specifically, retired chief of police in my area, and current undersheriff, even as we speak, in Cape May County. Mother was a stay-at-home mom. Her primary goal was to raise the children. She was also a freelance writer. So, strong Christian household. I often tell people my parents did such an amazing job training up their children, not just raising us in church, but raising us in Christ. Now, here's something you might not find on the internet about me, but I often pride myself in this regard, and I'm sure it'll strike a chord with you, Mike. I played high school basketball for a pretty competitive program. Middle Township High School traditionally was known for at least winning South Jersey titles. And I'm actually one of the point guards on the 2002 New Jersey State Championship team, Mike. So
really?
I don't know, man. I think I might be able to handle you on the court.
You know what? I'm sorry, you got no chance. I would take you down into the paint where the real men play, and I would embarrass you. I'm sorry. No, I'm only kidding. Now, if we play horse, I got a shot because, you soccer boys play too much defense, man. Normally, every soccer player I ever coached can run all day and play defense.
Could not shoot a lick.
They couldn't shoot a lick. And I don't know if you were different.
I was so good at soccer talent-wise, but I loved basketball as the point guard. I played smart and safe, and I was high percentage. So if I took the three or if I was on the foul line, coach knew I was going to make it. I was the clutch player.
So
it came in handy in my senior year, Mike, where we went to the South Jersey Championship, and it went down to the wire. Wound up hitting a game winner at the buzzer. The score was like 47-48. The very next game in the playoffs, same exact scenario. Down to the wire, I hit another buzzer beater, 47-48.
Oh, my goodness.
State semifinals. Just one of those like pretty awesome memories. And it's basketball. If you were to ask memories about soccer, I would tell you I scored a lot of goals, went to Temple University on a full scholarship, and eventually, as you've discovered, played professional soccer. So, that's the skinny version.
Well, I think we missed one follow-up question. So you got to the finals, and then what happened? Did you cut the nets down?
Junior year. We won state championship my junior year.
Yeah, boy.
I was the point guard, and we lost my senior year in the state semifinals to Neptune, North Jersey.
Oh, man.
School down to the wire in that game as well.
So 36 years I coached, and there are parts of it I miss. I can tell you this, that with coaching basketball nowadays, it's almost 12 months. And the school that I coached last 4 years is about a mile and a half from the radio station where I work at. So we would practice, let's say 7 to 9. I would stay at the office till 6 and then be real tired, but try to figure out what to eat. Where can I find something to eat? I'd be real hungry, get home at 10, get to eat again. And so I decided a year and a half ago, we won my sixth state championship, to walk away from it and get myself healthy. And man, been doing that like crazy. I'm down, I don't know, 100 and some pounds and working out at least once, sometimes twice. And yesterday was three times a day where I'm doing this 4:45 a.m. Burn boot camp. And I'm telling you, Matt, it's killing me, man. But I'm kind of addicted to it. 100% Irish, you get addicted to a lot of things. But I got to leave my house no later than 3:45, because it's a 30-minute ride, 35-minute ride. And, Matt, it's really funny because I listen to all Christian music on the way out there. And then when I turn left, I got another 2 miles to go. And I go to, like, Will Smith, Get Jiggy With It. It's like night and day, but I got to do something to get my body going. And I got to stretch for 15 minutes. And then it's 45 minutes of just pure get after it. And I couldn't do this if I was still coaching. And I thought, right. You know what, I've been around a long time. And it's time. And after we won a state championship at a school that, when we took over, they had won, I think, 2 games in 3 years, something like that. And 4 years later, we hoisted the gold ball. And I said, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go away now for a while. And now go watch my grandkids play a little bit. Hey, I loved coaching point guards, by the way, Matt. My favorite. Get in the gap and kick. My son kept saying, you know, he was a point guard. And he'd never ask me how many points he had. How many turnovers, how many assists, because I'm a 4-to-1 kid. I said, man, you're not a 4-to-1 kid. You're not. Look at the numbers. He goes, no, I'm a 4-to-1 kid. And I'd be like, you're not, Matthew. So it was good. You enjoyed playing basketball then.
If you were to ask me, and most people do, I'll get done speaking somewhere, whether it's a conference, at a high school, a college, or a church, telling my testimony primarily. They'll ask me, like, oh, man, tell us about soccer. And I'm like, I'll answer the questions. And then they'll ask, did you play other sports? I'm like, listen, my passion, my love, I think because it was less stress, because I wasn't the best basketball player, but I could get out there and enjoy and perform and be the clutch player, as opposed to soccer. You were the guy everybody was looking to, right? You had to score the goals. So there was more pressure, more stress. You almost burned yourself out growing up when all you do is eat and sleep a specific sport. So basketball was an outlet. And I even play to this day. It's one of my, you know, hobbies when I have some margin to get together with some good guys and play some ball. So, yeah, man, I miss basketball, Mike.
Hey, did you grow up a Nets fan or a Knicks fan, or what did you grow up watching?
You know what? I, by proximity, we are in South Jersey, so most of the professional teams are in Philadelphia.
Okay.
But I was more of a player fan, so I enjoyed the game, and that included even soccer. I would watch the player, and I would be a player fan and appreciate, you know, some players that had the composure or they had natural gift, and you can see it. So whatever sport it was, I'd always find one player that I would kind of latch to and just follow them and love the way that they played the game.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because there are certain players that I really enjoy watching. But growing up here in Milwaukee, I'm a Bucks fan. I'm a Packer fan. I'm a Brewer fan. All of that. And you go into Temple. Look, I was a big John Chaney fan. Watching John Chaney coach, Matt. Well, he was so into the game, and I thought defensively, he was a step ahead of everybody, I thought.
He was great. He was a class act. He'd come into the gymnasium at Temple. We'd be playing on the basketball court, soccer. It was typically during the colder days. And he'd come sit in the stands, and you got, like, this legend, Chaney, sitting in the stands watching us play. So, you know, remember, I'm 19, 20 years old.
Oh, man.
And I'm looking at this guy who I watched on TV coaching, and he's watching us play soccer. It was just one of those, again, cool memory thinking about where I was in life and what the Lord allowed me to experience.
Amen. Amen to that. Hey, we are talking to Matt Mayer, again, former pro soccer player. He's now a teaching pastor at Coastal Christian Church in Ocean City, New Jersey. Stick around, because the rest of the show, you know, we have a little fun with that first segment. But boy, this young man's story is incredible. As we're talking, if you get a chance, truthovertrend.com is his website, and there's a lot of information on there and some stuff that I would highly recommend you take a look at. And you know what, understand that the Lord obviously has led this young man through a lot of really dark things. He's young enough to be one of my kids. If I was his father, I would be really proud of him, but there was a time that I would have been really, really hurting over the one decision that he made. And we're going to talk to him about that on the other side of the break. Again, he's Matt Mayer, former pro soccer player. And go to truthovertrend.com. And I'm a little surprised a former soccer player has such really cool gear, but he's got some pretty cool gear, and you might want to take a look at that as well, because he got some great sayings on that. Again, truthovertrend.com. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and our special guest, man, that first segment, that's the fun stuff. We got through the fun stuff. He's Matt Mayer again. He's a former pro soccer player, now a teaching pastor at Coastal Christian Church in Ocean City, New Jersey. Also has a website that I cannot recommend enough, truthovertrend.com. Go to that website. So, Matthew, let's talk a little bit about you getting injured as a soccer player. And you know what? We need to talk about that night and what happened. And we can kind of utilize that almost, I guess, as your testimony. Because in the second segment, we talk about people's testimony. And I know that you grew up in a Christian home, but this certainly solidified where you went with the rest of your life. But can we talk about, you know, you found out that you had hurt your knee in soccer and then go from there?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So majority of my career as a soccer player, I was injury free. So skated my way into Temple University on a full scholarship. My senior year, entered into the player draft. The USL player draft was a first round draft pick. The MISL, Major Indoor Soccer League, was a first round draft pick. So I had options leaving Temple University. Eventually played on my first pro soccer team in North Carolina, Carolina Railhawks, with my older brother, Anthony. So imagine mom and dad, extremely proud. Their two sons are on the same team. My first professional start, Mike, was against Cruz Azul of Mexico. They came over for a friendly in SAS Stadium in Raleigh, and we had a sold-out crowd. It was my first rookie start in front of 30,000 fans.
Wow.
I'll never forget it. So from there, the trajectory of my life was going back and forth between the USL and the MISL, played in Milwaukee several times, played against my older brother, Anthony, who was a Milwaukee Wave. So how do you like that? You're in that city,
Matt,
worked for that organization.
Yes, I did.
And my brother played for Coach Tozer. And my first time playing against him in that arena, I'm a defender at this point, so I have to mark him. And listen, you know, he gets the ball, he posts up kind of, I'm on his back, and he elbows me straight to the nose, Mike. I'm bleeding everywhere. And, like, it was this first indoctrination to Mark and my brother, who was like a train. And he gives me a cheap shot.
Hey.
And then he looked at the ref and says to the ref, "Don't worry, he'll probably tell mom." And, like, he ran off. I remember just thinking, you got to be kidding me.
Man, you got to love that. I'm sorry, but that's exactly, I'm the youngest McGivern boy. It's exactly what I would have done to you two. I would have hit one of my older brothers. Now, he was your older brother. He thought of it first. That was the key right there.
Yeah, he got it off. And then, so from that point, I eventually landed a contract with the Philadelphia Kicks. So I end up back in the city of my alma mater. And it's in that city, in that world, where, let me kind of just preface this. I would have told you I was a Christian in name, but I wasn't necessarily living as a Christian in nature. I would have answered the questions in any interview that God was good and I trusted God, but I wasn't living it outside of certain arenas. On the weekend, I started to go out a little bit, started to hang out at my old stomping ground, some of the bars and clubs that I would frequent as a college student. So are you seeing how I'm back in an area that I'm familiar with? And now I'm straddling the proverbial fence. I got one foot in the Word of God that I would do my Bible study in. I would go to the church that was in the area. I would pray as a Fellowship of Christian Athlete. I had my own player card, Athletes in Action, that I would hand out to the kids and sign autographs. But I also had one foot in the world. And this is kind of the beginning of the end. March 1st, 2009, in the Philadelphia Spectrum, a routine turn on the turf. I'm kind of chasing the ball. It hits off the back of an opponent, So I shift quickly. My right leg, my foot, gets caught in the turf, and my entire body shifts, and I tear my ACL and my meniscus in one fell swoop. Boom, I go down. That Wednesday, as you can imagine, an MRI confirmed that both ligaments were torn. They scheduled the surgery for the following week, which I believe was like March 12th. So I have surgery scheduled, and now I'm in no man's land. I'm in limbo. And I went to the training facility that Friday morning, and I think the date was March 6th. The team was going to Baltimore to play the Blast on Saturday. I would not be traveling. I was on the injured reserve at this point. I got home. My brother Anthony, who I lived with, told me, you know, keep your head on your shoulders. I remember tearing my knee. Very encouraging. Then he asked me, what are you doing tonight? And I just kind of shrugged it off and said, I'm going out. And he looked at me and he was like, Matt, don't go out tonight. Stay in. And there were, like, when you look back in hindsight, there were so many warnings, or as we say, the writing on the wall. I decided to go out that night. I had no plan. So it's not a cliche to say when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I went out in the city of Philadelphia, picked up a friend, had some dinner, didn't have any drinks at this particular point, ended up at an establishment in Manayunk, ran into my old college roommate, had not seen him since 2007. It was there that I had my first drink, and it was off to the races from that point, you know, catching up on where he's been, where I've been. But every conversation that would be about what I was doing eventually led to the knee. People would be like, I'm sorry to hear about the knee. And it was, I can't say I was depressed. I actually can say I was entitled. And every time the knee was brought up and the possibility of never playing soccer again, I felt more emboldened, more entitled. Like, I'm going to do me. And there was one point in the night where I ordered several shots for my group and didn't hand them out. I wound up taking about five of them in a row, five shots in a row. And from that point, Mike, I do remember very vividly some of the scenes that unfolded after that, but I'm under the influence of alcohol. I get in my vehicle. People often ask, what were you thinking? That's the number one question. What were you thinking? And I'm honest when I say, that's the point. You're not thinking. When you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, you're not thinking. You're not in your right state of mind. Me and a friend decided to go to Atlantic City, New Jersey that night. And I tell people that night for me, which was March 7th, the early hours of March 7th, 2009, has not yet ended for me. That night still echoes all this time later in my today, because I wound up rear-ending another vehicle on the Atlantic City Expressway, and that there kind of, man, it's hard even to share. I'm responsible for taking somebody's life because the driver in the other vehicle ended up dying. And when I express that, no words can be strung together to explain the shot of guilt that comes into my soul. Even all this time later, Mike, that kind of paralyzes me when I recognize, man, I made a decision to drink and drive, and it ended up taking somebody else's life.
Watching those videos that I watched, and I can tell in your voice and out through those videos that, you know, you are so still, I mean, just, and how can you not be so affected? But on the website, truthovertrend.com, or if you Google our guest, Matt Mayer, and we talked and emailed back and forth, and I said, how much can I bring this up? And you said, man, bring it up. This is so important, you know, that I tell this story, that I tell about this 55-year-old man. And, right. You know, you manned up and said, I'm guilty. I did this, and I need to pay the price. And I understand that, but I just, you know, the hurt that you caused that family and your family. And it's funny, because when we talked off the air, I said, you know, you must have been so scared to go into prison. You were like, no, you know, that was maybe the easy part, and you were calm about it.
That's right.
And I find that just really incredible, Matt.
Well, imagine as much as you can the weight of guilt, shame, and the consequences that you would have to face. Regardless if you did not intend to make a decision that would hurt somebody, it's still the reality. So to walk through those consequences, it was never about prison and how much time a court system or a judge would give me. It was all about expressing my apology, my sorrow, and my remorse to this family, who I didn't know. You only come to know little bits of information that they share with you. He was a father. He was a brother. He was a son. He was a 55-year-old man. His name was Hort Kak, came over from Cambodia, was a hardworking man. And you discover all this, and it's like it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that you made a decision that took that person's life. I was charged, Mike, with first-degree aggravated manslaughter in New Jersey. That comes with a 10 to 30-year prison sentence. That is very unusual. Usually you would get charged with vehicular homicide, right, vehicular manslaughter. That carries a 3 to 5 year prison sentence. So there were several things at work in my particular situation. One, the limelight that I had as a pro soccer player, right? USA Today picked up the story, you know, pro soccer player driving drunk, kills a man. Like, that was the publicity around it. My father's a career law enforcement official, so they felt like they had to dish out a heavier charge. And even my lawyer was like, this doesn't make any sense. I've dealt with this before. Matt's looking at up to 10 to 30 years, but this is where our faith, again, I'm stripped of everything I thought was my identity, soccer, status, my possessions. And we often say that when you hit rock bottom and you're a believer, you discover Christ is the rock at the bottom. And it was in that state of humiliation that we said, you know what? God's in control. Matthew's going to have to walk through these consequences, and we're going to trust, regardless of the system and a sentencing guideline, that God is going to be glorified. So January 7th, 2010 was my sentencing day. I went in charged with first-degree aggravated manslaughter. The judge made a discretionary move to sentence me at the second degree, which put me between 5 and 10 years. My lawyer primed me and my family and said, Matthew's probably going to get 7 years mandatory time in New Jersey. It's a mandatory sentencing. We all said, all right, whatever God decides. I got up in the courtroom, Mike, was able to express my heart. You can kind of see this on the website, as you said, over and over, expressing how sorry I was. And I sit down, and I spoke to the judge. I spoke to my victim's family, and I sat. And that was, like, in my mind, that was the reason I was there that day, to express that to them. I wanted them to know how sorry I was. Because, hey, let me just digress, Mike. When you do what I did, and you meet people that do the same particular crime, you find out a lot of times they don't ever seek forgiveness.
Right.
And that was one of the things that would boggle my mind, that you did something to somebody. I know you didn't mean it. A lot of times, like, I didn't mean it, man. Why would I apologize? I'm like, brother, that family needs to hear you apologize. And that became a ministry in and of itself, trying to encourage people to seek forgiveness.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the person you're seeking forgiveness from, they could shove it in your face, but you know what? Between you and God, your conscience is clear. You sought forgiveness in all sincerity of heart. So when I got the opportunity to do that in the courtroom, I had no idea what was about to happen after that. I said my piece. I sat down. The rest of the day was about the judge rendering a sentence. But before the judge could render a sentence, Mike, Mr. Hortcap's daughter stood up, and she expressed with such eloquence who her daddy was. It was beautiful. She even turned and looked at me and said, we've heard nothing but good things about Mr. Mayor here. And she continued to talk about who her dad was. People were whimpering and crying. It was so emotional. And then Mr. Hortcap's son, his name's Noon. Noon stood up, and Noon threw off that vibe. He began to yell at the top of his lungs. He began to, in rage and anger, and rightfully so, pointing at me, telling everybody in the courtroom, do they have any idea what it's like to get a phone call where they told him his dad is dead? And then he looked at me and he goes, and you destroyed my world. And I remember in that moment giving him my undivided attention. I'm whimpering on the inside, but I'm trying to gain my composure. I'm crying and praying and saying, God, don't let it end like this. And I kid you not, Mike, and you saw the video, there was this awkward composure that came over this young man. And he stopped. And the very next thing he said to me was, but I forgive you, my brother. Just like that.
Yeah.
And he came walking over to me. The bailiff allowed me to stand up, and him and I hugged right there in the courtroom. And I whimpered in his ear, I am so sorry. And all that guilt, all that weight, it literally evaporated. And if you're listening out there and you're going, man, that's incredible. That sounds too unbelievable. I'm going, there's this video by God's grace alone that shows you everything I just shared. And like I often tell people, man, that's the gospel. You're sitting in the place. The Bible says you deserve judgment. I was in judgment. I'm sitting in the place of judgment. And then something happened that interrupted that judgment. A son stood up and a son stood up and interrupted the judgment that I deserved and gave me forgiveness that I did not deserve. And that's exactly what the Bible says that Jesus did. While we're in our sin, Christ died for us. And like that gives me the chill bumps every time I tell it.
And there, you know what, for a lot of us and a lot of people listening, I know they're thinking this, there but for the grace of God go I.
That's right.
You know, there but for the grace of God go I, because that could have been a lot of us. We were talking to Matt Mayer, again, former professional soccer player. Man, that is so, look, it gives him this platform, and it's a reason that I found him to have him on, but he's so much more at this point. He's an author, and we'll talk about these books that he's written, and truthovertrend.com. Go there, and he started the publishing side, it's the publishing for Founded of Biblical Truth, Isaiah 55:11, and we're going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to him about the gear part of it and continue this conversation with Matt Mayer. And again, on that website, give yourself enough time to watch some of that and watch that video, because there's not going to be a dry eye in the house. I can't give this son who said this to Matt, but I forgive you, enough credit, because he's a way better man than I am. Way better, because there's no chance that I could have done that. And I have a lot of respect for that young man. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation again with Matt Mayer. He's a teaching pastor at Coastal Christian Church in Ocean City, New Jersey. And you can find out more about him, truthovertrend.com. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week, and I sure wish Pastor Ken Kellner could be in studio with me today, because he would have the same emotion that I have over this young man, Matt Mayer, and just what he is doing now with his life, and the fact that he takes full responsibility. You know what? He didn't run from that. He didn't say, hold on. This guy must have moved over in this land or whatever. He did his time. He did what real men, I think, do. And again, he has started a few things. He's a writer, he's an author. Before we get more into truthovertrend.com, Matthew, when you were a sophomore, junior in high school, if I would have said, look, as you get older, you're going to be published three times with three books, what would you have said?
Yeah, I would have laughed. I did not enjoy writing. I mean, I was a great student, got all A's, had a very high GPA, but writing wasn't necessarily my thing. My mom was a writer, so I would scratch together some thoughts, hand it off to her, and she would polish it out. So, yeah, I would have laughed in your face.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about the books that you've written. Are they available, first of all, on Amazon? I should have known this before I asked you that, but are they available on Amazon? Are they available through Coastal Christian Church? Where are they available?
They are available on Amazon.
Okay.
And let me preface this, because, one, anytime somebody brings up whether I have books or these other things that the Lord has allowed me to do, I've never used the books to sell. I often use them as a platform to stand on. So that's
okay.
One of the first things I want people to understand is, because I had so much time in jail and because the Lord was pouring out his grace upon my life and I had so many different changes of perspective that I wanted to document what I was experiencing, what I was seeing, all of that writing eventually became several manuscripts that we put together, and we founded a company that was actually partnered with Jason Williams, former NBA All-Star. His number was 55 when he was playing pro basketball.
Okay.
My number was 11.
Oh, there it is.
And we picked a Bible verse, 55:11 Publishing, and I put out three books personally. My mom has a book, and there's a couple other books on that label. So, yes, Amazon.com and or my website, truthovertrend.com.
Hey, so when you say Jason Williams, you're talking about the New Jersey Net, the 6'11 Jason Williams?
6'11 6'11", Jason Williams, unfortunately had an accident with a shotgun, killing his chauffeur, his limo driver. I believe it was in 2001, maybe. It was, I mean, years ago, and we crossed paths in jail and did 18 months together, and God has done so much work in both our lives, and to this day, we're still in contact, so I often talk about him in my messages.
Well, amen. So if we do a pickup game, if I come to New Jersey, I get the first pick, then I'm picking
right.
him. Just so you know, I'm picking him, figuring that we're going to get every rebound, and all I got to do is throw it into the post and let him score. So you tell Jason we'll play two-on-two, but he's on my team for sure. Hey, when these books, did you write these books when you were in prison? Did you write the first one, or how did that go?
Yeah, so most of the three books they're at now, I actually have about, man, no exaggeration, eight other manuscripts that are done.
Wow.
I just have to find the margin to work on them and eventually publish them. So the first three books that I did put out went through an editor. The first one was titled, You May Be the Only Bible Somebody Reads. And that in and of itself became the mantra, as I recognized in this, I call it hell on earth, prison's hell on earth. It's the closest thing you'll get to hell on earth. I discovered, when you live for the Lord, when you're walking in integrity, God allows you to walk securely, and people are watching you, whether you realize it or not. So when you pick up a Bible or you go to church and you say you're a Christian, that comes with a pretty hefty responsibility, one that I neglected as a young man, and I refused from that day forward in jail to ever misrepresent my Savior. What I didn't know was everybody in jail is watching you, and it's just a place where you posture. And one of the dynamic testimonies was a former mob enforcer who was placed on my housing unit. He was watching me, and he told me one day, he said, I've been watching you. He's like, you read that book every day? He's like, I was waiting for you to cuss, waiting for you to fight, waiting for you to argue. Then he looked at me, and he goes, but you never gave me that opportunity. That was like my first experience with this guy. This dude was like a – you can look him up, John Little John Palladino. He's a former mob enforcer. And what happened was God used my example – to string John along to pique his curiosity. And what dawned on me was something my mom used to say to me when I was a teenager, Mike. She used to say, Matthew, before I'm running out of the house, you may be the only Bible somebody reads. So now, with that in mind, I began to write a manuscript that kind of touched on Christian influence, metaphors that help the believer understand, like if Jesus said you're the light of the world, what does that mean? Well, like a moon is dark unless it reflects the sun's light, and we're dark unless we reflect the sun's light. So it's just a lot of metaphors. That was the first. The second was called Imprisoned by Peace, A View Apart. And that is like a very short book about when you are imprisoned by God's peace, it doesn't matter if you're in prison circumstantially or literally. God's peace transcends all understanding. So it's an interesting read. It helps apparently people in the midst of crisis or tragedy to find the peace of God. And the third book is titled Unchained, A View Apart.
Yeah.
So the first one, or no, A Voice Apart.
A Voice Apart, yep.
Imprisoned by Peace is A View Apart. Unchained is A Voice Apart. And it was a compilation of a newspaper company that I was writing for while I was an inmate, and they would publish my writings. So when I got out, I took those writings back and added more to them, and it's A Voice Apart. Like, if God's word is unchained, then it's always going to be unleashed no matter where you're at.
Hey, Matt, and we're talking to Matt Mayer again, former professional soccer player. He's teaching pastor at Coastal Christian Church. And I watched your ordination. And
oh,
I'm
wow.
watching, and the man in the white shirt talking about
That's
being,
right.
that, is that him?
That is Little John.
That yeah. is, yeah, there's nothing. I know they nicknamed guys, but he talked about the soda incident. And I had a laugh at that. There's some soda that came, and you kind of brought it back because I don't know where. And I just kind of giggled because he was like, I was thirsty. I wanted to drink some of that soda. And I had to stand up for this man going, don't hit him. He did what he thought he had to do. And, man, I loved that. That man could have been on Sopranos.
Yeah, and that was his reputation. It preceded him, and people knew he was ruthless and violent. John had spent his entire life in jail, so for him to be at my ordination, speaking on my behalf, because the Lord got a hold of his heart, and I often tell people, John was once a soldier for the Godfather, and now John's a soldier for God the Father. And that Coke incident was, you get food in jail, it's called canteen, and they put soda in my bag, but I didn't pay for the soda. So when I got back to the housing unit and went through my receipt, I said, John, I didn't buy soda. They're not mine. I'm going to return them. And he was like, you know, he's old school. He's like, what? They made a mistake. Come on, homeboy.
Yeah,
we're
going to
drink Cokes tonight. And I'm like, no, John. Like, this is like my way of trying to help John understand integrity. Like, these aren't mine. I'm going to return them. And, you know, those little instances in jail go so far because people, it's foreign. You know, you're in the system. You better take advantage of the system. And I was like, no, integrity does the right thing regardless of who's watching. And I went back. I brought the Cokes back. And even the civilian that works the store was like in shock. He's like, wait a second. You're telling me you're returning these and you didn't pay for them? And I'm like, yes, sir. He's like, he's rolling his eyes like, I've never seen anything like this in my entire career.
Boy, that's incredible. I really enjoyed watching that video, and it was really good. I liked all of it, and look, it was longer than some of the other ones, but obviously I got hooked into it because I saw a lot of it, and it was really impressive. Hey, we're going to get to a break. The last segment, I've got a few more questions for Matt, and then I'm going to ask him all the jerseys that he's put on since his childhood. If I could pick one out of the closet and get him one more game with that team, who would it be and who would it be against? And we'll continue to talk about truth over trend. This is a pure story of redemption. And God has been so good in Matt's life, and Matt is now spreading that. I can tell you that right now. Again, go to truthovertrend.com. I'm going to ask him a little bit about some of this gear that he's got going, too, because I love what they've got on the front of those T-shirts and sweatshirts. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus.
Well, welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. You know, Matt Merritt, I can tell you that this young man has touched my heart. And I'm just an old boy from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And this young man, I can't get enough watching some of this stuff. And there are times that I'm the one crying and saying, you know, thinking about him having to go through this. And he's saying to me, man, it's okay. I'm all right. I came through it. I'm good. I felt so much peace. And I actually got a lot figured out in my life.
Yep.
You know, for the 5.5 years. Now, you wouldn't recommend anybody going in for 5.5 years, right? You know,
no.
To find where they are and all that. But boy, the platform, Matthew, that the Lord has given you to be able to talk. I can tell you that doing this show, I get asked sometimes to speak at men's groups throughout the area. And the first one I went to, my testimony is not pretty. Right? It's just not. It, you know, got this beautiful wife, and we've been together since the day after graduated from high school. And I was out doing stupid stuff and coming home late and trying to sneak in and all that. And she sat up one night and said, I'm done. I don't believe in divorce, but you will live the rest of your life in a loveless marriage. You decide. What do you want to do? You like that over us?
Wow.
And you know what? So I have to go out. And so I'm telling this story about all this stupid things I was doing. And I was embarrassed, Matt. And so after the pastor comes up and says, that was great. I said, never again. And this is a church I didn't know. I didn't know the pastor. He'd call me out of the blue, and I said, never again. He said, what? I said, I'm so embarrassed. I'll never do that again. Lose my number. Don't tell any of your friends. And he goes, hey, man, you know what? I'm one of those guys. The worst thing I ever do is steal a candy bar. There's 270 men out here. 50 of them are dealing with you right now in their life, dealing with what you dealt with.
Right.
And they won't talk to me about it, but they'll talk to you. And he said, and you think this is about you, huh?
Wow.
I said, man, don't talk to me anymore. What did I tell you? He started laughing. He said, you can't stop now. You got to keep telling that story. And
that's right.
Man, how hard is it for you? And we've only got a couple of minutes left. I want to get to that jersey question, but how hard was it in the beginning for you, Matt, to come out and just lay your whole life story out to people?
Yeah, similarly, Mike, there's obviously shame that rises up. But when God says, Matt, you get out there and tell him what you did. And then I stop and I go, God, then what? He goes, then you tell him what I did. You tell him what you did, son, and then you tell him what I do. And it's like I talk about my shame, and then I highlight God's grace, and that becomes my testimony. I actually spoke pre-incarceration. I was invited to speak at colleges and high schools, which kind of set me on that trajectory, which is a God-given gift pre-incarceration to be able to speak about it. So all this time after prison, I'm now doing what God prepared me to do through prison. And yes, it's true when the Bible says God brings beauty from ashes. I'm currently married, Mike, to a beautiful wife myself.
Yes, you are.
We have one daughter named Willow, and we're expecting a son any day now.
Amen.
Named Ezekiel.
Man. Amen. And you look, I use this, and people are going to roll their eyes, but y'all kicked your coverage by a mile. You know that, right? You do know that. I just want you to know, in case there isn't anybody that has been 100% honest with you, to let you know that you joined my club, pal. I'm the president. You come on in. Hey, last question. With all the teams that you played for, from Little League on, if I put all of the jerseys in a closet and said, pick one and I can get you one more game, it could be a home game, could be a Friday night against whoever you want it to be, what jersey do you pick and who do you play against?
Tough question. Hundreds of jerseys, as you can imagine. Most people listening at this point would think I would say Philadelphia Kicks, go back to that game I tore my knee. If I don't tear my knee, maybe I don't go out on a Friday night. And that wouldn't be my answer because I've learned you can't live in regret. I can't change that. So even if I didn't tear my knee, I wasn't living right. I probably would have made a bad decision somewhere else, which God would have got my attention. I would have caused pain. So it's probably not the answer you'd expect. I'd go back to one of my travel soccer teams, Pittsgrove Stars. And it's one of those plays that haunts me, even though I was a teenager and all the eyes were on me. It was a penalty kick.
No.
And it all depended upon me making it. And I shanked it. I hit it so bad, it was embarrassing. It was one of those moments I walked off the field, and to this day, I'm 36 years old. I still remember that one shank. Out of all the victories and goals I scored,
man, I love
missing
that.
A PK, I'd go back and try that one again.
I wish I could get you one more game. Hey, Matt, I promise you this, that this does not end our relationship. I'm going to call you and have you back on. I love the fact that there might be a couple other guys in the future you can help me out with, because that's the tough part with Faith in the Zone, is getting guests. But he is Matt Mayer. Again, truthovertrend.com. I want you to go to the website, watch the video. I love the gear. We didn't even get into that, but there's some great sayings on that gear. But do yourself a favor, truthovertrend.com, or you can go on Amazon and pick up one of his books. It's Matt Mayer, M-A-H-E-R. Matthew, have a great weekend. I look forward to touching base with you again.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much, guys.
You bet. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose.